hello and welcome to this week's expansive podcast. So good to have you along with us again. We have had a long session before getting onto this pod. I always say we should have recorded it, man. We should have recorded all we just chatted about. It was really golden. Welcome to the Expansive Podcast, an award-winning podcast where we speak about things that make you think expansively, both in your personal life and in your business life, and really a passion project between two very good friends that decided to record our conversations that we were having anyway. And here we are 5 years later, two awards, and really still loving it more than ever before. And welcome on the journey with us. And before we kick off, as always, check in with my co-pilot there in Cape Town. Hello, Eric. How are you, my friend?
Hey, dude. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. What a great way to start a Monday morning. And what a journey it's been. I'm all good. Lots happening this week, especially on the course side, like we've been kind of discussing offline. We are busy building courses for ourselves, busy building courses for the expansive. And it's kind of cool to be trying out some new methods of delivery for the content that we've been creating for so long already. And trying to really meet people where they're at. So, yeah, interesting times, lots of new things to be playing with. What's happening on your side? You had a busy week last week traveling, hey?
Yeah, there was a lot going on last week. I was in Spain and Johannesburg, and actually Pretoria, which was very interesting. Spain was amazing. I mean, Madrid, my God. The food, I've never tasted food like that before, ever. It was next level food. Also refreshing being in winter. It was kind of cold at times. So nice wearing those clothes again and just like being out in the cold air, which is really fun. And then Pretoria was always good. You know, Pretoria. I mean, when do we ever go to Pretoria? And it was nice to be in Pretoria. I was in a very small section of Pretoria, Menlyn. And so I just kind of stayed there and didn't really.
To see you speak at a farmer's event for me is. Yes. Like it was pretty funny,
you know,
to see
so
that.
Funny.
But it was. I don't
know. This is my fourth farming event. Really? Like I've had Agri South Africa, Agri something else, Agri. And I come round and it's all these two-tone Afrikaners. And for my international friends and listening, two-tone is the sort of like uniform our Afrikaans people wear. And it's their uniform and they're very comfortable with it. But you know, they're such nice people. They really are like just wonderful, down to earth. And there was a couple guys on stage that were obviously farmers, just beautifully aware, awake. I think they have slight racism within their blood, slightly, because it's just somehow they've been built into that racist world. But just very warm and engaging and I think unconsciously racist. I don't think they're consciously racist because they're so warm and so engaging. But I think that unconscious racism fits in with lots of people around the world, you know, without even realizing that sometimes we are suffering from that. But yeah, I love them. You know, my parents have got a farm in Machubuskloof, which is surrounded by Afrikaans farmers. And so, yes, we meet a lot of them. They're very earthy, family orientated. Very proud of where they come from. And I love the fact that they all smoke in their offices still. They're like, you're a fucking toilet. I'll smoke you if I want to. Don't tell me otherwise. Like, apparently Checkers famously as you can smoke in their offices. I've heard. I don't know if it's true. Really? Anybody works for Checkers, let me know. But I'm sure a few years ago, it was Afrikaans was the first language in the Checkers head office. And you could smoke wherever you wanted to.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because this week on TikTok, I also had someone comment and she said, oh, like when you started speaking, I thought you were going to talk about farming for some reason. I mean, I do have Afrikaans blood.
You do.
But I'm not a farmer.
No.
It was, but it was a good conference, eh? Like it seemed like they had the great lineup of speakers at the event.
Yes, it was very good. It's always good, man. It's always good just to see what other people are saying. There's lots of smart people out there really sharing some incredible information. So well done to all the other speakers. I was closer, try to bring everything together. And my job really, I thought my job was to simplify all the information they'd gotten. That's kind of the focus I went in at because I'd watched a couple of talks online and it was very technical, very AI driven, very blockchain driven. And you know, these topics are abstract. They're really not grounded, like blockchain. I mean, it's so abstract. And so, and even AI is so abstract. Like, what do you do with it? Where do you enter it? So really it was about grounding that information. So I really enjoyed the talk. It was a different type of talk that I did to try and land it for them. And it went really well. And also Spain went really well. Spain went exceptionally well. So that was really great as well. And So yeah, looking forward to, I'm going to Germany next, speaking at FIBO, the fitness and bodybuilding show. I'm speaking about longevity. So yeah, looking forward to that. All these nice, interesting topics to research and think about. Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay, so today we're talking about charisma. And as known by the young people, Riz. When you got the Riz, you have the superpower. And often people want to learn how to have some Riz and to have some charisma. Because ultimately, if you think about it, everything in life is storytelling. Whether you want your wife to wash the dishes, or if you want your client to do work with you, or if you want to, whatever you do, anywhere you go, you are a storyteller. And the better storyteller you are, the more momentum you'll build around your message. You'll have more people engaged with you. And really, it's about figuring out how to develop charisma. Now, some people are just born with it, and some people have to develop it. And I think I've been born with it, but I've spent a lot of time diving into the subject. Obviously, our work has got a lot to do with charisma. But, you know, I think it was Kobe Bryant who said, just because I'm the world's best doesn't mean I don't have trainers. In fact, the better I get, the more trainers I have. And I think that's really important to realize, is that if you don't have charisma, this is going to be a very important message for you or episode. If you do have a lot of charisma, this is again important, because you can always fine tune, you can always adapt. And I remember I went for a speaking course. I mean, I hardly go on them. And whenever I go on a speaking course, I take away one or two little things. And those one or two little things just sharpen my game. And that's really what it is. You know, it's like, how do you sharpen the game of charisma? And just before we kick off, I just want to make sure everybody understands, charisma is not about charm. It's not about being charming. It's about presence. It's about depth. And it's the kind of energy that makes people lean in to listening to you. And you can't come and just be charming. I think in the day of, we're not in 1978. You can just be, hey man, you look so good. And that's like, no. You got to be so centered. You got to have the depth of power. And that power is quiet. It's not something that's coming out there being brash, you know, and it's really about holding yourself until people are engaged or want to be more and more engaged with you. So before I kick off, any pointers that you want to
I think you've summarized it well. Charismatic leadership is something that has been around for a very long time as well. And, you know, when they analyze different leadership styles, something they keep coming back to is that charisma is an important part of leadership. It's not the only part of leadership that matters, but it's an important part, because what it ultimately comes down to is resonance. You know, you can have two people delivering the same message or communicating the same message, but one will land much better and resonate with people and make them feel inspired and want to come along on the journey, and the other will just fall flat. And so really, charisma is, can you be more resonant with the people around you? And I like that just kind of highlighted this. Like, it's not charm. It's not smooth talking your way into situations. It literally is just being more of a magnet for the people and the ideas around you.
Very well said. There's 6 points that I'm going to be making. And the first one is called unshakable confidence. And we often think about confidence as this, you know, like suave, you know, focused on what they're saying, know what they have to say. But you know what confidence really is, bro? Confidence is feeling safe. And, you know, I've been playing around with this word safe quite a lot. And you realize that many of us don't feel safe. Just within our own being, we don't feel safe. Safe to have enough money. Safe to be successful. Safe to be comfortable in your body. Safe, just safe to show up. And, you know, it was Gabor Mate who spoke about the fact that when he was 6 months old, World War II happened, and he was taken away from his mom for 6 months. And he has been dealing with that level of anxiety because of that lack of safety when he was 6 months old, when he didn't really even understand anything, but his nervous system felt the absence of his mom. And in the talk that Gabor Mate was giving, and Gabor Mate is a famous trauma healer. If you don't know him, I highly recommend you look him up. But what he said was, we all just need lullabies as adults. All of us just need lullaby. We all just need to feel safe. And if you think about yourself when you feel safe, you're naturally more confident. There's nothing to hide from, nothing to be scared of, nothing to be anxious about. And when you feel safe, you're kinder to the world. When you don't feel safe, you become arrogant to the world. You become cruel. You become impatient. When you feel safe, you naturally extend it into confidence. And so the idea around feeling safe is an internal dialogue that says, no matter what happens, I'll be okay. No matter what happens, I'll be okay. And that's a huge internal relaxant, a huge internal anchor point. If you can, and this morning's meditation, I did an hour alchemist meditation from Dr. Joe, and a big part of it was putting me into a space of safety. And let me tell you, you realize how unsafe we actually feel we are, which gives us a lack of confidence, lack of kindness, and a lack of charisma.
Mm, sure, I love that. I think there's two components here. One is that you have to have, we can split it into external and internal. And this internal confidence that you spoke about now is something that we can generate for ourselves. It's also something that we've spoken about lots of times, which is healing your past, doing all that kind of stuff, doing meditations. But then there's also the external confidence, which is that you have to put in the reps. Is that the way that you feel safer is that knowing that you've done this thing so many times that when you get into the situation where you need to now do the thing, that you can relax into it, you know? And I mean, getting onto stage is the perfect example of that. How many times do we rehearse a keynote in our heads, in our bedrooms, you know, before we step on stage? Hundreds of times. And so by the time you get there, you can trust that you've done the work and now you can relax into that safety.
Very well said. You know, I was reading somewhere the other day, it's like, you got to do hard things. When you do hard things, you build respect for yourself. Mm. When you don't do hard things, you feel resentment towards yourself. Like, you know, you've cheated. Internally, you know, you've cheated. And then when you do the hard thing afterwards, you're proud of yourself. And that's the thing that actually gives you the safety, right? You got to do the hard reps.
Dude, but you mentioned Kobe, right? And I read the thing that said that even after they would win, you know, a championship or whatever, the next morning, before anyone, he'd be back in the gym and he, like, on the court, and he'd just be doing the basics. Like, it wasn't that he was doing complicated, complex drills. He was just doing the basics. And he would be there before anyone else on his own, putting in the reps and the hours before he even worked with his team. Guys would say to him, cool, like, we'll meet at the gym before, you know, we have to be with the team. And then he'll be there before they get there to do their drill before, you know, like, it's just dedication.
I heard he was so above the rest of his team players that when they were warming up, he would take half the court to warm up and the rest of the team will take the other half. That's how he was one half of the court, you know, that was what a hero he was. That's a huge loss that he passed away. Eh?
I mean, yeah,
it was really such a freak accident as well. Anyway, second point. The first one point is unshakable confidence through safety. And so internal safety. And I think that's a really important angle for us all to practice, to feel safer. Character is number two. Character over reputation. It's not about looking good. It's about being solid. The truth always outlasts the illusion. And this idea here comes down to defense mechanisms. Is when we are sort of, our character is questioned and we are very comfortable in the fact that we haven't transgressed our character, we don't have to defend it. You just hold. And you just hold, and you hold for long enough and the illusion snaps. And so understanding that lots of people do virtual signaling, they put out into social media what they want the world to know and feel. But really, at the end of the day, they are not like that. And I know this one famous South African that's all about female empowerment and no violence against females. But I've also been to one of his comedy shows where he calls girls bitches for the whole comedy show. So I'm like, I don't understand this guy. He's like, he's virtue signaling. So, and I've been in situations, and I'm sure you've been in situations where people have, I don't know, accused you or were upset with you for something, and you go into some level of sort of, I don't know, reputation defense. But ultimately, the trick here is to stay calm within your own character, understanding that you haven't transgressed anything, and eventually the truth always does come out. So number two is character over reputation. Number three is radical integrity. And this really comes to your internal dialogue to yourself about yourself, is that we often do things in secret, which we don't want the world to know. But the problem is not that we're doing the thing in secret, it's the shame that we give ourselves over and over for knowing that we cheated the system, that we cheated somebody or we did something that was out of our character. So to make peace with yourself really allows you to understand that honesty isn't just a virtue. It's a power move. So when you say what you mean and mean what you say, what happens over a period of time is you build this level of trust with your idea of integrity based on you defending your, not defending your character and having that level of safety. And I think what I want everybody to hear is that there's a golden thread amongst all of this. Every single point that I've made here is based on you feeling safe, not defending yourself, and then getting to a place of developing this honesty that is only really felt by people around you over time. And it's so funny because I was on the plane back to Dubai over the week and I met a guy, MK, that I know from my preemie days. So I've known him since 2000. Now, it's 25 years ago that I know this guy. And he's done exceptionally well. And we were both in business class and we were in the A380. You have this bar in the back. And so there's snacks and everything. People congregate there and have meetings there. And I just went to the bathroom and he was sitting there and we started chatting. We chatted for an hour, like over an hour. And what was so amazing about it is that we've known each other for 25 years. And we were talking about seeing each other in different guises and how the character of both of us make us feel so trustworthy to each other because of the time that we have watched each other have the integrity from different stages of our lives where we had money, no money, we were low, we were high, whatever the case may be. And both of us are in a good place at the moment. And that is what integrity is about. It's that radical integrity that people around you over a period of time start to recognize. And I think the conversation came about because we're talking about in Dubai, everything's so new and fresh. You don't really know people for long. And when I spoke to him and my friends, and even with you, and I know you, you know me, like for years. In Dubai, you don't have that. It's new. And so that level of radical integrity really gives you long-term trust and long-term charisma because people start to listen to you and understand that you haven't cut any corners in the past.
Mm. Dude, when I think of the people that I know that have good integrity, that are congruent internally, externally, like in real life, virtual, it always comes down to the people who've spent the most time mapping their internal world. You know, like it's the people who are quite clear on who they are and how they want to show up in the world. It's the people who are clear on what their values are. It's the people who have done Enneagram. And, you know, it's just the people who are constantly curious about what this inner world of theirs looks like. And they're constantly trying to put words to it so that they know, these are the things that I stand for. These are the things that I'm trying to aspire to. This is who I'm trying to become. And the clearer that becomes to you, the clearer it becomes on how to build your character, the clearer it becomes on how to be living with integrity. I don't think you can do those things if you are just obsessed with your image in the world and you aren't obsessed with the building of your internal world.
Yeah, and so well said, you know, and it's so obvious when you see somebody that's much more interested in what the world thinks of them rather than them thinking of the world. And you can see that because it's a power dynamic. I was telling my friend last week, is like when you see somebody walk into a restaurant, they do two things. One, they want to see who's looking at them, or they walk into the restaurant seeing who's there that they want to connect with. Very different energy. And so it really comes down to the fourth point, that is zero need to convince. The most magnetic people don't chase approval. They state their truth and let it land. And it's really about not needing to be liked in the short term. And when you're not needing to be liked in the short term and you stick to your mettle through the process of having a golden thread of integrity and honesty and having a process of really thinking about unshakable confidence and character over reputation, you realize that you don't need to convince anybody. And that is always my pet peeve online, is when somebody makes a derogatory comment on one of my social media posts, I'm like, I'm not coming to your page trying to convince you that you are wrong. Why are you coming to my page? Like, I don't care. I don't even care. Firstly, I don't know who you are. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're up to. If you're not coming to uplift and to engage and to yes and me, go away, because I don't need to convince you. But there's certain people that need constant convincing and constant truth that their truth is the right truth. And those people don't have charisma. They're aggressive in their approach. And you and I knowing exactly who we're talking about here, because we do have one or two people that keep jumping onto the bandwagon. And you're like, guy or girl, like, I don't need to convince you. And I think not needing to convince perplexes people that want you to fight. And they're like, oh, what's wrong with this person? It's a coward. It's like, no, I just know where I want to feed my energy, you know? That's number four.
Yep. Love it. Number five?
Number five is called purpose in action. In other words, can you share your mission openly, clearly, not locking it up, and ask or see how people can connect with it? Now, you know, purposeful missions, and we all get caught up in what is my purpose? What should I be doing? Have I lost my purpose? And I think that's really the wrong question. The question is, can you follow your curiosity and excitement? And at that point of following your curiosity and excitement, you become purposeful in the way that you are approaching life. Can you communicate this purpose openly and clearly and as often as possible? What this does, it gets very clear on who you are and what your mission is. And we all love people that are around us that are, we know where we stand with them and where they stand with us. And that clarity says, I don't mind having haters. I really just want lovers, but I don't mind that I have haters. But what it really does for us, it brings us back into the section of, are you in line with your genius, your purpose, your curiosity, your fascination? When you are, you can sense it in somebody. That charisma is oozing out of them because they're in flow. If somebody's pretending, there's no charisma there. There's charm. And that's a very big thing, a big difference.
When, you know, we've spoken about the art of recalibration a few times on the pod, and I think even quite recently. And a bit of language that I've changed around that is that you want to be at 0 degrees deviation. That is the ultimate aim, is 0 degrees. Because even the smallest deviation from that takes you very far away from where you want to be over time. And so it's always, but again, the only way that you get to know this is you have to sit down and you have to do the work and you have to map out what your internal world looks like and then go, well, where do I want to go from here? Who do I want to be? So again, it all comes back to the internal work. You can't be charismatic if you haven't done the internal work. That's the pod.
That's actually the simplest. That's the simplest way. But I also love what you just said now. You know, who do we want to be? Oh, yeah, that's a book. Mm. Who wrote that book? That's an amazing title. Who do we want to be? Can't remember. Anyway, way before his time, who do we want to be? Who do we become? Who do we become was the actual title by John Sonne, that amazing author. So that's the fifth point. And the last point is, and I think I'm naturally very good at this, but this is something that I've just naturally been okay with doing. But the sixth point is called humanize everything. Compliment freely, be vulnerable, have fun. Perfection is boring. Flaws are where the magic lies. And I think it's important to, you know, what I've been doing recently is I put a slide up that I've become the fifth best futurist in the world. And what I say in it is, I'm just doing this to show off. It just being released. I just wanted to put it out there. And I'm showing off, yeah. But I'm also being very like clear the fact that I'm a little boy that likes attention. So like, give me the attention. Thanks. Okay, great. Let's see me moving on. And I think what it does, it gives you a little bit clip of into your personality. And when you meet somebody initially, you really are coming in and trying to very quickly get people to realize that, look, you've got these challenges or that challenge. This is what you were having a difficulty with. And the immediate thing as you do that, other people start opening up to you about their challenges and their vulnerabilities. And immediately you have now connected. And that is really charisma, because what happens is that people start to lean into you because there's no facade. It's very clearly being human. It's like, wow, I love your hair, love your glasses. Shit, I wish I could wear glasses like that. I got a skew face. There we go. Like, you just landed it in a very, obviously not me because I'm a supermodel, but I'm talking about like people like you with your face. For everybody on the outside, I always joke that Eric's ugly. And let's remember that I could never joke Eric's ugly if he was ugly, because that would be rude. So I'm just saying he's ugly because it's fun. Back to the pod. Okay, so Eric, my handsome podcast co-host. No jealousy coming from me. It's okay. Thank God you're only 5'3". That makes me feel better. So... caveat, she's 6'2". So
yes.
Charisma isn't a trick. It's actually a way of being. It's your personality. And I think what you did is really summarize it well to say, if you haven't done the internal work, you're hardly going to be charismatic, because charisma requires empathy, requires awareness, requires energy that comes into a room calm, not competing, clear, not all over the place and frantic, asking questions, not telling everybody who you are immediately, not showing perfection, but vulnerability. And all of this comes down to you having done the internal work. You haven't done the internal work, this seems strange to you and almost weak to you when somebody's able to come into this room acting like that.
Yeah. And I think the moment you do that, and it's not, when it's not charisma, it's just manipulation. Because I think people can often, they can use these tools and it's not coming from a place of sincerity. It's like, and you know, I think the point you made about vulnerability is so good, because like that's the only way we get, you know, if you look at it from a leadership perspective as well, like the only way we can have people be vulnerable is for us to go first. And we somehow think that they should go first, but that doesn't really work. So you showing that vulnerability, you being willing to create that emotional connection, it allows others to do the same. And yeah, I think you are very good at that. Do you think, I know we're running up on time here. Do you think, you said you were quite natural with it, but do you feel like that's from a young age, or do you feel that was created because of being in the hospitality industry and having to develop those skills in that space?
It's a great question. I think I had it already, and that's why the hospitality industry seems so obvious to me. Because I was so good at that chit-chat, but also chit-chat with a power dynamic. And it's so important to realize the power dynamic that we play is, are you giving people, I heard this amazing line. It said, when you arrive into a room, are you giving people a remote control or a manual? And what does that mean? Is that means when you come into a room, are you letting people control you with a remote control, you're giving them towards you, or are you giving them a manual of instructions of who you are and how you work? And what's your boundaries? Okay. How brilliant is that line?
Yeah, that's good.
It's like, are you coming in giving people a remote control, or are you giving them a manual of how they must deal with you?
Mm.
And one has got power dynamics and one doesn't. One is going into a restaurant hoping everybody sees them. The other one's going into the restaurant to see who's in the restaurant. Very different power dynamic. And we often don't realize how much of a power we give away through our language and through the way we arrive. And, you know, like, I mean, obviously, the meditation I've done, $10 million, is about this idea that you arrive into a room with $10 million. And so what does that mean when you arrive into a room with $10 million? And how do you act when you come into the room with $10 million? And your power dynamics are very linked, not to dominate, but to hold your power and not give it away. And people are giving their power away left, right, and center, you know? And so charisma can never have or never be if you give your power away, if your power dynamic goes. That's why it's so difficult for you and I to reach out to anybody to do hard sales. You can't reach out to people to say, hire me for your event. Your power dynamics are wrong, totally wrong.
Mm.
And if anybody's doing that, you are not going to get paid well. You're going to get paid very badly because your power dynamics are wrong. So the analogy I always use is a beautiful woman in a nightclub. There's 18 people waiting to take her home. Don't be one of the 18. Your power dynamics are wrong. It's going to be a very bad power dynamic. You're not going to have a good time. She's most probably going to bully you as well. So just wait until you've developed that internal strength to be able to move out, and then let people lean into your magnetism rather than you looking for them and to leaning into them.
All right. So a quick recap here is that running through from 1 to 6, number 1, unshakable confidence. Number 2, character over reputation. Number 3 is radical integrity. Number 4 is zero need to be
convinced.
My writing here. Convinced.
Zero
yeah.
need to convince.
5 is purpose in action. And 6 is humanize everything.
And let's just finish off with this. Charisma isn't a trick. It's something that you practice. And so, yes, I was good at it initially, but I've just gotten better because I've now understand the rules that are around it. So thank you so much for sharing, Eric. Great to see you again. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for this pod. We hope that the points were helpful and that you can fine-tune your charisma, move more people around you, and find more peace within you. And you're able to find that peace within you and move people around you, then you're quite ultimately quite successful, no matter what you're up to, where you're doing it, what you're selling, and when you're selling it. So thank you for joining us. We have our book coming out soon. We have a course coming out soon. We have events in Dubai, Johannesburg, and Cape Town coming soon. So just keep your eyes on the social medias, and we will be sharing as much information about this as possible. And from next week, we'll be advertising our new corporate structures for our books. We have created a corporate structure where you can get your company's logo and a foreword by your CEO in the book, making it personalized for your company. And we will be sharing a lot of those details over the next couple of weeks as our book gets ready to get launched. Until then, be expansive. Ciao.